Welcome to this message from the campuses of Charter Oak Church. This week we're moving on to week 5 in the series, What Difference Does Easter Make? And the message, In My Struggles. Because of Easter, we know what it means to persevere through difficult times. Jesus suffered through one of the most grueling punishments in death. He experienced everything that we experience. The way we look at and experience struggles is redeemed by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Here's your campus pastor.
And you know, today we are concluding our series of because of Easter, everything is different. That because of the empty tomb, because of what Jesus did in walking out of that tomb, that our marriages are different, our families are different, our lives can be different. Now, if you missed any of the weeks of the series, I would encourage you to go back. They're on Facebook Live or through the app. There's a podcast that you can listen to those. And the reality is that Jesus came, died, rose again so that you and I could live different lives. Now, you've heard me say in a variety of ways over our time together is that something like this. You know, everybody is dealing with something. Amen? Everybody here? Everybody's dealing with something, and it comes our way. And it seems every time I say that, somebody else will come up to me and say, "Oh, you know, you didn't know this was going on, or you didn't know that was going on." And I'll learn more about their story, and I know that there's stuff that we deal with in our families, with our kids, you know, with our aging parents, with school, in our classes, and in our jobs, and all sorts of things. And today, we're going to deal with an aspect of our Christian lives that sometimes some people think we should be immune to. We're going to look at a reality in the lives of believers that some people want to deny, and that is the reality of trials and adversity. How can you and I walk through trials and adversity and struggles differently because of Easter? James talks about this. Let's look at it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now let me tell you very clearly, I just sort of stop here for a moment. It's not what I don't understand about the Bible that bothers me the most. It's what I do understand about the Bible. Okay, that verse is pretty clear, isn't it? He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Now, if you're new to the Bible, you may not be aware that the author of this was James, the brother of Jesus. And you might be kind of surprised and taken aback by what he says in these verses. And you might expect that he would say something like, you know, when you're experiencing struggles or suffering in your life, God's got you. Or you may expect to hear words of comfort or compassion or support. You might expect to hear, God's got a plan. Now I want you to know that, yes, God is sovereign. Yes, God does have a plan for your life. And all those things are true. But that does not diminish the truth of what I want to share with us this morning, a truth that's taught in various places in the Bible. You know, one of the biggest news stories over the last three weeks has been the measles outbreak. You notice that? You know, and that has kind of rekindled the whole debate over vaccinations that will, you know, you get vaccinated, you know, it keep you from measles. Well, there's a myth out there that coming to Christ, coming to faith, becoming a believer is a vaccination against trouble. There's teaching out there that people would teach that when I give my life to Jesus Christ, when I am saved, when I ask Jesus into my heart, whatever term you're most comfortable with in describing that, that then from that point on, we don't have to deal with any trouble. We don't have to deal with problems. And that's very manipulative, and it is very destructive. It's not new. But here in the United States, it's sort of on a wave right now, and it's what many people are calling prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel is a belief among some Christians that when we have Jesus in our life, that we will always have physical well-being, that there will always come financial blessing, that it is always the will of God that his children would have a lot of money, that it is always the reality that we won't have to deal with all of those issues, and that is often accompanied by that follower of Jesus will increase your wealth and your bank account, and then it's often followed by a call that if you will donate to this ministry or to this person or to that cause, that God will automatically multiply your gift back to you so many fold over and over and over again. In other words, if you have enough faith, you will always be happy, you will never get sick, and you will never have struggles. Folks, that is a dangerous, dangerous thing. To be clear, it's not in the Bible. It's a distortion. Now, if you read the Bible and you read the New Testament, you'll find that, in fact, the most devoted followers of Jesus often experienced exactly the opposite of that. They didn't get rich. They were persecuted. They were imprisoned. They were beaten. They were stoned. And so you and I need to understand that, you know, there is a great thing about the internet. There are a lot of wonderful teachers out there, and there are a lot of faithful places where you and I can learn more about our faith and we can learn more about the gospel, but it also is a very dangerous place. And there are a ton of false teachers who sound really great, but they actually are far, far away from the actual teaching of the Bible. And the way it works is very often they'll take a partial truth, and then it'll be just a little bit off, and then you'll follow that truth to a logical conclusion, and it'll end up taking us a long ways away from the truth of the Bible. You hear me say over and over again, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. The reason is I want you to have that understanding of what the gospel is so that you can discern truth and error in me and in every other teacher so that we can humbly examine what they are teaching. Now, let me share with you just some things that can help you identify some folks who would be sharing in this line of thinking to identify a prosperity gospel preacher. They will not talk about the normalcy of suffering. And in their teaching over a period of time, and we all know nobody can teach everything every week, but over a period of time when you listen to their teaching, there will be an absence of the doctrine of suffering. There also will be an absence of a clear and prominent doctrine of self-denial. Very often it's all about what I get instead of what I give. There will be oftentimes an absence of the serious study of Scripture. There'll be an absence of the tensions in the Bible. You see, some of the Bible, there are some tensions, and not everything is crystal clear at the first exactly moment. It's not all neat and tidy answers. Oftentimes, people who teach this, you examine their life, and they will have exorbitant lifestyles, what they own and how they live. And also in their teaching, there will be a prominence of self and a marginalization of God. You've heard me say, God does not exist to make a big deal out of us. God is not here for us. We are here, what? For God. We exist to make a big deal out of God. God is the center. We are not. And so as you're searching and as you're listening and reading, don't take those teachings at face value. Dig deeper. 2 Timothy says this, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. The reason I'm sharing this, I love you and I want to protect you from some of the deceitfulness that's out there. And I think one of the reasons why it has fertile ground in America is that we have made a god out of comfort. Have you noticed that? Everybody wants to be comfortable all the time, you know, and the living is easy. And when we are not experiencing comfort in our culture very often, then we think that something is wrong. And one of the reasons why there's such an explosion of people addicted to alcohol and heroin and other drugs is the fact that so many people are self-medicating to get away from their pain. They bought into this myth that everything should be smooth sailing all the time. There should never be any pain. So if I have pain, there must be something wrong. And so many pursue the absence of pain and suffering at all costs. And this happens outside the church and in the church. Now, to be truth, if we pursue pain and suffering, then we have another issue, right? I mean, we don't want to pursue that. We're not masochists, but there's nothing really wrong in wanting to stay away from suffering. One of the things I've said, I am not afraid of death, but I really don't want to die. You understand? I don't like the thought of the process of getting from here to hereafter with God. So there's nothing wrong. We don't want to go through that. But when it comes, we should not be surprised. You see, pain and suffering, they are part, the Bible teaches, they are part of our lives as believers. And some people get derailed when those things come into their lives if they believe that, if I'm a believer, that this shouldn't be happening. So therefore, because I have pain, because I have suffering, that must mean that I'm doing something wrong. And so I must not really love Jesus and there must be something wrong with me. Now, true, sometimes we suffer pain because of poor choices that we have made. There are times that I've sinned and I've blown it and I've suffered pain for that. But there are other times that I've suffered pain because of other people's actions. Anybody with me? You know, we're victims. So you can't make one blanket statement to cover all of that. The reality is sometimes we may be doing things exactly right. Sometimes we may be living exactly the life that Jesus wants us to live and we will experience pain. And we will experience suffering. So today, I'm going to tackle that head on, okay? You buckle up? You know, we're going to tackle it head on. So what difference does Easter make in my struggles? First of all, James teaches us, expect it. Expect adversity. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Notice, James doesn't say if, he says when. In other words, it's not. You know, it is a reality of who we are. The New King James Version puts it this way. It says we will fall into all sorts of trials. In other words, we don't have to jump into them. We don't have to seek them. They come. You know, they come to us. They find us in a variety of ways. And you know this, some of them are short-term, some of them are long-term, some of them are deal with us, our physical bodies and the physically in the lives of people that we love or emotional. There may be a relationship that we have. It could be through our work, it could be through our school. And when they come, one of the ways we can identify that they are a trial or a trouble is when oftentimes we say, why is this happening to me? Or we'll say, I never thought this would happen to me. Or we'll say, what did I do to deserve this? 1 Peter 4 says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Do you see that? He says, don't be what? Surprised. Expect it. It's coming. It shouldn't be a surprise, but often it is, and we shouldn't think it's strange. I want you to hear, come on up, Tim. I want you to hear today from somebody who's been through it. You know what it is? It's different for each of us, but Tim has been through it. Would you welcome him as he comes to share? Oh, I forgot to give you the mic. There we go. And hold it close so they don't have to turn it up too loud. Well, can you fill us in? Oh, by the way, he warned me. I only have 30 minutes for this message, and he said he had 20 of them. So,
yeah, he said make it quick. Yeah. I don't know if I can, but I'll try.
Tell us a little about your struggles in the past few years, kind of where you've been and what's been going on.
Okay, kind of Cliff Notes version. He wants me to make it quick. So Cliff Notes. Started about 4 years ago. My health started to decline. Was getting sick, couldn't figure out what was wrong. Then I lost my job. Health was getting worse. Couldn't figure out what it was. Doctors couldn't figure it out. Nobody could tell me exactly what was going on. So kind of got fed up and just said, you know, start praying. God, help me through this. But I wasn't getting better. And it's like Chris said, you know, first thing you want to do is say, why? Why me? Well, I found out later, and I'll get to that. But so I went through a lot of stuff. I mean, it got so bad that I couldn't go to work, even if I had a job. Mornings I was so sick. So we started praying really hard about it. Things started to change a little bit. And, you know, I kept praying and asking God to heal it. And there was days when it was really good, but I thought, okay, great. Hey, he fixed it. And then it came a point last year. When I had to have surgery, you know, I lost a lot of weight. I went from 150 pounds down to 120. Had no energy. So I had to have this surgery. And we prayed about it really hard. And the day the surgery came, I felt good. I mean, I didn't feel scared. Came out of the surgery. And I think I had one of those answers to that question, why. So people ask me, Tim, why didn't you have this surgery 4 years ago when this first started? And you could have avoided all that pain and all that that you went through. You know, don't you wish you would have had it then? And I say, no. And they look at me kind of funny, but here's why. I needed that. God knew I needed to come back to him. I needed that relationship that I lost. The prayer, it was more than just prayer. I had to believe, and that's what happened. I believed in what I was praying. I had so many people praying for me. And so, you know, somebody said to me, Tim, you're going through this for a reason. And part of that reason is why I'm here. Because if I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have had that relationship. I wouldn't have that relationship I have now. If God brought me back to him, and then that's why he let me suffer. That's why I went through it. You know, that's part of the reason. I know there's other reasons why, and I don't know yet why. But I do know one of those reasons was for me to get back in my faith, to trust in the Lord. You know, one of the things that we always talked about, Wendy and I, was trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give it to him, and it'll be okay. And it took me a long time to just give in and say, okay, God, do your thing. You know, I've got nothing else to do but to follow you now. But that's why I suffered, and that's why I had the pain. It took me a while to really figure that out, but if I didn't go through it, I wouldn't have that relationship with him. I wouldn't have that relationship with my wife, my kids, my friends. I wouldn't be sitting up here talking to you guys today, because I wouldn't be where I'm at. I mean, he's brought me through so much. You know, the loss of the job, big deal. I got another job. I enjoy what I'm doing. You know, I get to talk to people kind of about what I'm talking about now. You know, people saw me when I was sick. You know, Carla, if you used to tell me, well, you pasty, you look bad, you know. But she did that in love.
She has a gift of encouragement, you know.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, I never realized how sick I was till how good I feel. But it's more than just that. It's just my life has changed. I mean, you know, I read scripture more. I listened to God more when I prayed. You know, I just didn't pray and You know, I believed it. You know, it was, you know, I kid Wendy all the time. We talk about prayer, and sometimes, you know, it's not coming. I said, you know, God's not an ATM. We just don't go punch in our pin and expect a blessing. We got to work for it. We got to wait for it. Yeah. And it taught me to really trust and wait. I mean, I went through a lot, but if I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have this walk in faith now. So I wouldn't be here.
The Lord taught you to trust and to wait. Yeah. Any other lessons you can think of? I know there are many, but that you'd like to share that you learned in the midst of all that?
I just learned to give it to God and trust Him. I mean, there's so many, you know, when you say why, you know, I questioned it. You're allowed to ask why. You know, I got a partial answer, but I know there's more to it. I'll find out later why. Yeah. You know, my story's not over yet, as I'm told by a good friend of mine. There's more that God's got coming for me.
Amen.
So I'm waiting, but you got to believe. When you pray, you got to believe, and that's what helped me, is I had to believe. You know, I just couldn't just ask God and sit back and wait. I knew He was going to work in me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for sharing. Yeah. Greatly appreciate it. I've got some other questions, but I think He covered it, don't you? Hey, would you thank Him for it? Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Yeah. He just told a thumbnail sketch, so you need to latch on to him and talk to him so he can tell you more about what God has done and what God is doing. Second thing, James says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, understand, there is nothing spiritual about grinning and bear it. And the Bible does not say that the trial itself is pure joy. When Tim was in the midst of some of the darkest days that he went through, I can tell you it was anything but something that he would have picked, right? And so it doesn't say the trial itself is. The Bible's not denying reality of the emotional and physical challenges. The truth is a trial is painful. It's not always a cheerful experience, but reality, it is in the facing or in the awareness of that trial. And when we see one is coming, James says, rejoice, because we can delight not in the pain, not in the discomfort, but in what God is bringing into our lives through that whole thing. You see, if you and I were to jump ahead, we would short-circuit all the stuff that God wants us to learn in the midst of what we are going through. There are lessons and there are things about God that we can only learn as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you have been there. Whether it's the death of a relationship, whether it's a physical death of someone that we love or something, a physical death we face ourselves, it is in the midst of that that God can teach us so much. Now understand, joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness is based on happenings, and those things come and go. Rather, he's talking about we can choose, regardless of our circumstances, to be filled with joy. We can choose God's joy even in those times when we are not very happy. And we do that by remembering our identity in Jesus. Remember our identity in Jesus. Romans 8:17 says, now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Romans says, as joint heirs with Christ, we share in the blessings and the sufferings. We share in the sufferings in order that. In other words, the blessings often come out of the suffering. They are two sides of the same coin, and sometimes they are very close together. I used to go to India to teach a few years ago. I would teach pastors, and I went two times a year, and they were church planters and pastors. And the leader of the ministry at that time is called Tel Asia Ministries, And her name was Leanna, her first name. And Leanna, we used to talk about the reality that suffering was going to come, that suffering was part of what they were all about. Recently, she and members of her team were arrested and thrown into prison in Nepal. And they suffered in prison. And she recently, praised God, we were praying for her release. She was released and she was thrown out of the country. She was doing exactly what God had called her to do. And she chose joy in the midst of it. We choose joy by trusting in the goodness and the sovereignty of God. I love the songs that were selected this morning. They're pointing to the sovereign. You know, in the mountain air and the ocean floor, God is sovereign. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It never says that all things are good. It doesn't say everything's going to work out good in the end, because folks, in this life, it doesn't sometimes. But it's saying that God is at work in the midst of all of that. And by living by faith and trusting, that doesn't mean we'll always be able to figure out why, but it means that we can know the who is with us, and that is God. You see, nothing is beyond his care and his presence, and nothing is a surprise to God. So we trust, and we look to the future. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." The trouble, the trial, the thing that you're dealing with, it's not eternal. If not in this life, in the next, it's not going to last forever. Now, when we're in the middle of it, there are times it feels like it's going to last forever. Amen? It feels like it's not going to stop. But the truth is, there is an end. Well, next, James says that it teaches us that the trial is faith-forming. It's faith-forming, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, one of the primary purposes of God allowing you and me to be shaken by suffering is so that our faith will become more unshakable. You hear that? One of the reasons God allows us to be shaken is so we can become more unshakable. Physical exercise tears down the muscle tissue as you stress it, and then that builds strength as it heals. God wants to build you and me beyond sometimes what we believe he can do. And when your faith is threatened and tested and stretched to the breaking point, it is in that moment that God is building greater capacity, perseverance. Some people call it grit. Many an athlete has learned, after going through all of the training, after all of those months and sometimes years, after the real test, has learned what the coach was trying to help them understand. That it's in the midst of that we grow. You see, God wants you and me to have faith so much that he will test it, or he will allow it to be tested to the breaking point, to keep you pure and strong and growing. God didn't come just to give you and me a comfortable life. He came to grow us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. This happened so that some of the things that you are going through, God is allowing them in your life so that you will learn more about who he is. You will learn more lessons that you would never learn if you didn't go through a time of trial and a time of suffering. Christianity is not a vaccination against trouble. Your suffering, your pain, your trials, they have a purpose. And sometimes God graciously takes away everything else So we'll learn we have to rely on him. Psalm 73 says, "Who have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire but you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." You see, when we get to the point where we realize God is all we have, it's only then we realize that God is really all we need. Now, we wouldn't pick that, would we? But God in his graciousness allows us to go through it, to shake us so we can become more unshakable. And then James encourages us to be wisdom-seeking. To be wisdom-seeking. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. See, the truth is, some people are wondering why they're not hearing from God. And the reason they're not hearing from God anymore is they're not obeying what God has already taught them. You see, God is speaking to us, and when you and I do not obey, when we do not walk into what he has already taught us, then we are double-minded. And we are double-minded. We cannot expect God to teach us more if we're not obeying what we already know. And so it will seem as if sometimes as if God is not listening, but in truth, God has already given us that challenge. He has already shown us the next step we need to take. And until we are willing to take that next step, God won't show us the step beyond that one. Does that make sense? And so James says to pray for wisdom. Don't expect God to teach you more if you're not living up to what he has already taught you. Ephesians 4 says, immature followers of Jesus are like infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. There are some people who would say, you know, you shouldn't be suffering, you should be happy. There are some people say, you know, God helps those who help themselves. How many of you heard that? You know, that's not in the Bible. Do you realize that? It's not there. Have you heard this one? God will never give you more than you can handle. Did you ever hear that one? You know, that's not in the Bible either. And what I often hear is, you know, God will not give you more than you can handle about things that God didn't even give. You know, like a teenager gets killed by a drunk driver. You know, you got to deal with this. Well, God wouldn't give you. Well, the truth is, yes. Does God give us more than we can handle? Yes. Absolutely. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Chris? Yes, God never intended you to live life alone. And God allows things into our lives and God sends things into our lives not to give us an easy life, so that we would learn to surrender and rely on him. Does God give you more than you can handle? Absolutely. And that's so we can learn more of the depths of his grace. On Good Friday, Jesus was mocked, he was beaten, he was spat upon, he suffered, and he died to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. And the reality and the meaning of those sufferings was shown at the empty tomb. And so because of Easter, whatever you're going through, whatever trial, whatever suffering, Jesus is there with you, and his joy, the same joy that Jesus knew when he was experiencing that suffering, when he could see through it and beyond and what God was doing, you and I can live in the midst of that, even when we don't understand, because we know he is with us. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we remember your word, how you said in Hebrews, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God, sometimes it's hard for us to see through all of this stuff when we're in the middle of it. So today, God, for those who are here, who are suffering, who are in the midst of a trial, give them a glimpse of what you are doing in them. Give them a glimpse, God, of what you want for them beyond the trial, beyond the suffering. And Lord, for those of us who maybe we don't even understand it at all, teach us what you are doing and draw us more closely into that communion as we share in the joy of your sufferings so that we might share in your blessings. God, help us to fix our eyes on you. Amen.
Thank you for joining all of us here at the campuses of Charter Oak Church with the recent message series, What Difference Does Easter Make? We hope you'll come back next week as we kick off a new series. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the church, its campuses, or the many activities going on now and throughout the summer, please check out our website at www.charteroak.church. God bless and hope to see you next week.